And with that, I'm just going to say I'm a former fighter pilot, also Air Force, and I bow down. I'm in the presence of royalty right here. Whenever anybody can be in the presence of an ace, there aren't many in this world at all. And this guy shot down 5 airplanes. He'll tell you some of it later, but it is an absolute honor. And I'm going to open it up to him, and Scott, my producer here, already told me that, hey, you know, you're going to have to cut him off somewhere because he just wants to keep talking, and that's a good thing. So we got about a half an hour right now, and I'm going to open it up to Don and let him talk about his combat experiences. He was on the USS Essex. He's had, again, over 200 carrier landings, only one at night, as I remember. Okay, I think that's what he said. He can tell you that story. And got shot up out there. He'll tell you some stories. He says his very first mission was the mission where he got shot at and put some holes in the airplane. And I guess he learned his lesson after that and managed to stay out of the way of the bullets. Right. But let's see. 3 distinguished flying crosses, 4 air medals. Again, you don't see those guys every day. I was out here the other day, and we had 2 guys out here. We had Darrell Whitcomb, and we had Dick Rattan, who were both also recipients of the Distinguished Flying Cross. So I am very honored at this point to open it up to Don and let him start to tell his story. And again, I'm the rudder of the ship here. I'm not going to say a whole lot. If I need to steer the ship in a little different direction, I will. But Don, where do you want to start with your stories? What do you want to talk about? This is Don McPherson, ace. Yeah.
Thank you. To add to your comment, one other award that I'm kind of proud of, I was among a lot of aces that received the Congressional Gold Medal.
That is correct.
Washington, D.C.
And again, not many people have received that, too. Yeah, and well-deserved, well-deserved.
I guess I would start about the time I finished my training. I had joined the Air Corps, the Navy Air Corps, and gotten into what they called a V-5 program, which was to be 18 months of training, which turned into about 22 months for us. And I'll begin as we went overseas after I'd qualified in carrier landings in the Great Lakes, like everybody did, and got over to Oahu, and it was really a shocker to us as we went into the bay there. The channel was just like a junkyard. You know, they had dredged all these blown up ships on each side, and the total channel was just looked like a huge junkyard. But then we had been assigned to a replacement unit, and we were stationed then at Barber's Point in the southern part of Oahu, and we were supposed to have been there for 3 months training. And of course, flying the Hellcat, we'd learned to fly the Hellcat at Daytona Beach before, and we got over there in this squadron, and it turned out then that I didn't get to complete my 3 months there with the unit because the Air Group 83 had formed on the West Coast, and then they moved to Maui to finish their training. And so when the, some way or other, they had a pilot that got killed in carrier landings. And so somehow my name come up, and I was flown over there one afternoon. And when I got over there, I had a kind of a shocker because I found out they were all packed ready to go to combat the next day. So at that point, I didn't know anybody, had never flown with any of them. And we got on a British transport the next day and took us to Ulithi Harbor, which is in the Caroline Islands. And when we got there, we had another big surprise because all of the fast carrier task force was anchored there we didn't dream that we had that many ships at that point, you know, after Pearl Harbor. But make a long story short, we went aboard the Essex then one day, and that evening they told us that they were going to show a film on the down on the hangar deck. And so we went down and to watch this film, and I don't remember what the film was, but at least anyway, halfway through it, why General Quarters sounded. And of course, the sailors, they all ran almost knocking chairs over, you know, to get to their gun mounts and whatever their assignment was. Here we were sitting there as an air group. Now, what are we supposed to do, you know? Nobody had the slightest idea, but finally somebody came by and told us we needed to go to the officers' mess hall. And we had no idea where that was, but we did finally find it. So that was kind of our beginning. Well, what happened there was we kind of started to finding out already what the Kamikaze Suicide Corps was all about for the Japanese. They sent in two twin-engine bombers, and one of them targeted the Essex, but he overshot his dive and just clipped the radar mast off the top of our ship and missed the ship completely and crashed on the island next to it. The other one then did hit the Hancock carrier that was anchored next to us, and I don't think it did terrible damage to that. It's kind of a glancing blow on the flight deck, because I know that they left the next day for combat with us. Mm-hmm. So when we started then back toward the more active part of the war zone, why, I was still an extra pilot. And so all I did for probably the first 3 or 4 days was just fly combat air patrol over the fleet. And of course, weren't any bogeys on the screen, so it was kind of routine. So in the meantime, you know, we were divided into divisions of four, and our call sign over the radio was Wonder 5. And so if you run across that name, you know it was our division. Wonder 5 Division took off one morning in the dark, and it rained during the night, and so the deck was wet, and this number two man in the division, his Hellcat got away from him and he went over the side into the water. Well, sometimes a pilot doesn't survive that. It kind of sucks him in under the ship, but he got by with it, and they picked him up and brought him back to ship. And the next day, they did the same thing. And he, again, was off the side of the ship. So they decided, I guess, he wasn't fit for combat duty and grounded him. And then I took his place. I flew wing back on the division later, the rest of the war then, and of course, then naturally the first mission that I ever went on was flying with guys I'd never flown with before. So that was, you know, was a little bit hard on a guy.
Was that first mission, was that a surface attack mission? Were you going out to attack the ground somewhere, trucks and troops?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was over... a strafing mission over Nitagahara Airfield on Kyushu. Mm-hmm. And there again, we took off in the dark in order to try to catch them for, you know, get them out of bed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, well, there was no airborne aircraft to worry about, of course. We saw a couple of them that were running toward airplanes, you know, but so each of us picked out individually a target on the ground, and I when I started into my dive, I spotted this big twin engine bomber sitting on the ground that was called a Betty. We had nicknames for all of the planes, so we didn't have to remember those Japanese terms or Japanese names. And so I picked this one out, and I fired my rockets, and I stayed in my dive long enough, and of course started strafing too. I stayed in my dive long enough then to see that blow up, and then I was getting low enough, I had to pull out pretty hard, pretty fast. And when I pulled out, my engine quit.
Ooh.
And so I had lost enough speed. You know, you can get about 400 knots in the dive normally is what we tried to do. And of course, I had lost some speed then, so then I could see tracers crossing in front of me. Well, it isn't real serious, you know, if the engine quitting, because your propeller from the speed is still rotating, so it's cranking the engine. All you need to do is get gas to it. And,
oh.
And so I grabbed we have an auxiliary pump they call a wobble pump, and I grabbed the handle and started pumping gas into it, and boy, that old big 2,000 horsepower engine, when it took, I got that surge, and that pulled me back into those tracers and so forth. So that's when I picked up a hold of my airplane.
Okay.
We were making our run toward the ocean, and so it wasn't very long till I was out of harm's way. And I kind of, we were on radio silence, but I kind of did enough signaling to my division leader that I'd been hit, and he kind of pulled in underneath me and looked me over and gave me a thumbs up. He couldn't say anything terribly wrong. So on the way back to the ship then, the Hellcat just didn't fly quite right. It just wasn't something wrong, you know. But by using trim tabs and so forth, I got it to fly almost hands off and got back and made an okay landing with it and everything. And you always have usually a sailor that's called a plane captain that comes in, and he crawled up on the wing and says, I see you picked up a little lead today. And I said, yeah, whereabouts? He said, well, there's a hole about a foot behind your back. He said,